Reverend Dr. Ohuneba Enyani Boadum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Boadum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Boadum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr.
I'm speaking on subscribing to the mercies of God. Subscribing to the mercies of God. Amen. Amen. Great is the Lord. Subscribing to the mercies of God. Shout mercy. God is a God of mercy. As a matter of fact, God is the Father of all mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 that talks about God being the Father of all mercy. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You missed a good place to say amen. Amen. That your God is not the God of wrath, nor the God of thunder, but he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Is the foundation for disposing your self-pity. Many people in this world have lost the urge to continue or living with a positive attitude because of the loss of hope. Even though we are gathered here nicely and come every Sunday and Thursday, there are many of us here who are facing one difficulty or hardship, which is gradually pushing them off the cliff of hope into despair. There are many people who still question whether their God came through for them, who came through for them some time ago, has all of a sudden forsaken them. The Father of mercies. Enlarge that scripture. I think you can give me the verse 4 and 5 together. What is mercy? Mercy is kindness, compassion, forgiveness that is shown to someone who is eligible for one kind of punishment or judgment. Mercy is kindness, compassion, or forgiveness that is shown to somebody who is eligible, who deserves a certain kind of punishment or judgment. That is to say, mercy invariably takes away from you things that we deserve but are going to destroy us. I'll explain myself. By virtue of genetic biology, if your parents are hypertensive, it is likely you become a hypertensive. By virtue of human physiology, if certain things don't go well in your body system, you can become a diabetic. You can become diseased in any other way. What I'm trying to say is, perhaps by the midwife who delivered you, by her mistake, you developed a paralysis of your hand. So deservingly so, by the birth injury, you are supposed to have that paralysis. Mercy is that thing that is able to remove, that is able to dispense compassion, kindness, forgiveness to somebody who deserves a certain thing. So mercy is that thing which would look at the situation and say, even though there was a mistake in your birth, and by the laws of nature and medicine, this is supposed to happen, mercy is that thing which is able to say, I overlook this thing and deliver you from what has happened to you. Mercy is what is going to look at your bloodline and say, even though your father was AS and your mother was AS, and because of that you are an SS, and because of the genetics of SS, your life may be cut short because your blood vessels are not working well. Mercy is that thing which is able to say, even though you are an SS, and by virtue of your mother and father's blood, you are supposed to be SS, but mercy is that thing which says, I don't care the genotype of your mother or your father, and is able to take you away from an SS genotype and bring you into an AA. Even if the biochemical methods are unable to pick your new genotype, the things that happen to SS cannot happen to you. Shout, I hear you. Shout, I hear you. Shout, I hear you. Give the Lord a praise. So the Father of mercies is our God. Your God is not Antoine Yama. See, I see a kind of religion that keeps going around the world fighting for their God. Why are you fighting for your God? Gideon said, if he is God, let him fight for himself. Why arrest people? Why kill people? Because they've defected from the faith of your God. Let your God fight for himself. Our God is a God that fights for himself and fights for his people. He is the God who comforts us in all our tribulation. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. When a person is to be imprisoned, maybe he's put in for life or even with a death sentence. Sometimes what happens is that though the case is closed, the lawyers of that person, the accused, can go back to the court and petition for an appeal. Hallelujah. Even though a death sentence has been given, and in some cases, the court grants them that room for the appeal to be made, and they decide to hear the case all over again and pass a new judgment. And if God be God, sometimes the man that was accused to die, a new verdict comes out and says that he's supposed to get life instead of death. Sometimes the one that has been imprisoned for life by reason of the appeal of a matter that is dead already, he gets his sentence shortened or even released. Today, in the name of Jesus, I decree any matter of yours that is ruled against you in the spiritual court of law, where the verdict has already been given, shall be reopened in the name of Jesus. As we subscribe, as we connect, as we rely on the mercies of God, the God of all comfort. This time, you will not go to that courtroom like you went before. For your chief advocate, for your chief advocate, Bible says that there is only one lawyer, there is only one mediator between God and man. The Bible says he is the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare you will not go to that spiritual courtroom alone, but you are going with the mediator. Everybody on this earth needs mercy. Everybody. The rich, the poor, everybody. When mercy does not show up, people die. When mercy does not show up, people lose hope. They faint, and the results become increasingly frustrating. When mercy steps in, however, the picture will change. Sissy Winans sang a song. She said, mercy said, no, I'm not going to let you go. David prayed a prayer in Psalm 40 verse 11. He said that, do not withhold your tender mercies from me. And that should be your prayer. Mercy is what stands between us and our major breakthrough. Shout amen. Mercy is what we need to break that vicious cycle of disappointment in our life. Shout amen. Amen. Mercy is what we need to receive the unmerited favor of God. Shout amen. Amen. Receiving grace is an act of God's mercy. Genesis chapter number 39, verse 20 to 21. The Bible speaks of a young boy who was snatched away from his family, imprisoned wrongfully, and cast into the dungeons. And the Bible says that even in there, the Bible says that, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Hallelujah. So the reason why Joseph had favor in the sight of the prison overseer was because God showed him mercy. In any prison that you are today, I decree by the mercies of God and the Father of all mercy, that God will show you mercy, and that will translate into favor for your release in Jesus' name. What a dying prisoner needs is mercy and not money. But the person who is on the sick bed and he's dying needs is mercy and not three cars. What a sick person is diagnosed with an incurable disease, what he needs is not DB lottery. What he needs is mercy. Shout, I need mercy.
I need mercy.
It depends. If you really need it, you will shout it. If you really need it, you will speak it out. If you really need it, you will petition God. Shout, I need mercy.
I need mercy.
It's not to me, it's unto him. Hallelujah. Because I also have been crying for mercy. The Bible speaks of one man called Epaphroditus. And Paul, in his writings in Philippians chapter 2, verse numbers 6 to 7, he said that, I wanted to come to you, but I decided to send Epaphroditus unto you because he got worried that you heard that he was sick. Verse number 7 is the place of importance. He said, for indeed he was sick almost unto death. Oh, 227, I beg your pardon. For indeed he was sick almost unto death. Philippians 2:27. But I want the whole church to read that part, please. One, go. But God had mercy on him. The antidote to the cure, I beg your pardon, the antidote to that sickness that has put you on a deathbed is not the drugs we give you, but the mercy that God shows. The antidote to that toxicity in your blood that doctors and people are going around looking for a cure is not in it, but it is in the mercy of God. For the Bible says he was sick unto death. That is a terminal sickness. The sickness was one that was unto death. And the reason why he did not die was not that they fasted for 40 days. Was not that they brought him some cars and brought him some good news. But the reason why he did not die was that who is God? Who is God? The Father of mercies, the owner, the composer, the author. He says, but God, the Father of mercies, had mercy upon him. God dispensed. Now, I want to say something. I'm going to jump a bit. Did it mean that for all the life of Epaphroditus, God had not had mercy on him before? No. His life was one of mercy. Able to sleep and get up is by the grace of God. But why is the Bible saying, now that's what I want you to get, because that's what I'm preaching about, subscribing to the mercies. The need to subscribe daily is what I'm teaching. He says that he was sick unto death and God showed him mercy. Now, before his sickness, had God not shown that man mercy? I'm sure he had. So, for the situation that he found himself in, there was a novel kind of mercy that was able to cure him from that state and not the mercy he had enjoyed previously. Hadn't God showed Epaphroditus mercy already? He had. So why the need for scripture to tell us that at his deathbed, God of necessity had to dispense another dose of mercy, which was necessary for his life? Anytime people met Jesus and desired to be healed, their prayer was birthed out of mercy. Listen to me. No matter what you are going through, you are trying to get some things. We've done the first 45 minutes of the year already. And we are about to start the next 45. I came here to assure you, it doesn't matter. The judgment passed already by virtue of its. What's the word I want? I want a word that says that. It doesn't matter the judgment passed on you already. Whether it is necessary, whether it is binding, whether it is inevitable or not. I'm trying to say, even if they are telling you that this disease is because it runs in your family, it doesn't matter. Because today we've seen that though the man had enjoyed mercy, for every situation he found himself in, there was another kind of mercy that God could dispense for his deliverance. Shout, you have no problem. The reason why you will not have any problem is because, irrespective of what Satan throws to you, there is a kind of packaged mercy from God that is able to combat that insult from the enemy. He was sick unto death, but God had mercy. That mercy there is novel, it's new, it's mercy he had never received in his life before. No matter the case, whether it is concluded this morning, as we present our cases once more on the basis of our subscription to his mercies, heaven will reopen your case file and consider it differently because of the mercies of God. I declare, it doesn't matter the diagnosis, it doesn't matter the end result that had already taken place. Heaven is about to reopen your case file. Heaven will take your file and reopen it and consider it again. I launch an appeal for you in the supernatural court of God that your case will be looked into once again, and heaven shall grant you good judgment. The Father of mercy, he remains merciful to you. Luke chapter number 1 verse 50. He says, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Then I want a Bible reader to go to Luke 1 57 to 58. Every morning, sing it. Great. The Lord will show you mercy, sir. Shataraba akia sata. Let the next 5 months ahead of your life be months laden with novel mercies. Mercies. That the Father of mercy shall consider him. Luke 1 57 to 58.
Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered.
Elizabeth was an old lady who could not have children.
And she brought forth a
son. And the Bible says a time came in her life when she became full and she brought forth a son.
And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her.
I declare in the name of Jesus that your neighbors and your relatives shall rejoice with you because of the great mercy that God is about to show you this year. The louder your amen, your bigger your breakthrough. I declare in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus that your neighbors and your relatives shall gather together to celebrate you because of the mercies of God. The woman that was scorned and mocked, Bible says that a time came by reason of the great mercy of God that all the relatives and neighbors gathered together. They gathered together and rejoiced with her because of the great mercy. Sister Grace and everybody in this room, I speak as God's servant that the people around you, from your enemies to your mockers to your critics to your friends to your relatives, believe it, receive it, shout a smile. They shall rejoice with you this year. They shall rejoice with you this year. They shall rejoice with you this year in the mighty name of Jesus. Just when her time was up, do you know the friends and relatives of Elizabeth? The woman who could not give birth, and the day she conceived too, the husband became dumb. So they started saying she had gone to do juju. You are now menopausal and you have conceived. You have gone to use your husband's speech to exchange baby. Those were the things they said about her. But by reason of great mercy from the Father of mercies, Bible says the same people came and rejoiced with her. I prophesy over your life and your life and your life that these people in your life shall come and rejoice with you.
Every morning.
It doesn't matter. When mercy comes, it does not take into account geographical location or the time or the status. Mercy does not consider those things. when mercy is dispensed, it overrules anything about the situation. The only thing pending and standing is the mercy of God. Mercy is not bound by time. When presidents come, they give amnesty or whatever. It's a subset of mercy. It is a subset of mercy, because if a new president has not come on, then you are not going to receive it. But the mercy I am talking about is not one that is bound by human times and constitutions. The mercy I'm talking about, it says that they are new. When it is dispensed, it doesn't matter your political affiliation, it doesn't matter the time of the president that is on, you are released, your case file is reopened, and judgment is done in your favor. Believe it, receive it, shout is mine. Shout is mine. Subscribing to the Lord's mercy. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. The other opening to Matthew 15, verse 22. Matthew 9, verse number 27.
When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us.
Two blind men pursued Jesus. Mike Mudok said that the proof of desire is pursuit. Blind men in pursuit. What a sermon title. Blind men in pursuit. How were they pursuing the man? At least they could hear. They could hear. Perhaps they had people helping them. And their prayer was, have mercy. Not heal us, have mercy. Perhaps we are blind because we were working on some metals and it struck our eye. Perhaps we are blind because congenitally we were born without eyes. Irrespective of the situation that merits our condition, we are petitioning for a mercy that is able to overrule the merits or demerits of our present circumstance. Matthew 15:22. The next one, go to Matthew 17, verse 14.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, you son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed.
This Canaanite woman, or the Syrophoenician woman, also had a daughter who was demon-possessed, who was sick or whatever. And then she came to Jesus, and her request was one birthed out of mercy. She said, have mercy. Ebia, mekoye bribi na ma weyaba meba no so, wo de mate, nanso humumobo. Ebia, boni bi sey na me ye enti na we enti bi si biom papa, humumobo. Ebia, ya wo meto ba bia na nye eno o breni o, papa, humumobo. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. A man whose son is also sick. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for often he falls into fire and often into water. Maybe there is a medical justification. That was the word I was looking for earlier. There's a medical justification for your present predicament. But hear me. There is a God whose mercy supersedes, overrules, discards, deletes, throws away, debunks every justification that is placed you where you are now. And in his mighty name, I pray, any justification for your present situation, we overturn it in Jesus' mighty name. And came and cried, shout, I need mercy. Shout, I subscribe to your mercy. Shout, Lord, have mercy. When you receive mercy, your case will be looked into. One day the Lord told me that when He takes your fire. When God begins to answer your prayer, He will answer everything about you. You don't understand. When the day the light of heaven will fall upon you, that day they don't answer you in isolation. Heaven answers you in totality. The prayers you prayed for money, for health, for breakthrough, for wealth, the prayers you prayed for some people, when God decides to take your file, my prayer this morning is that heaven will take your file again. Because we are making an appeal, heaven will take your file again. When you receive mercy, heaven will stand still. Matthew 20, verse 30 to 34.
And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and
read that part again, verse number 32.
So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?"
I declare in the name of Jesus that heaven will stand still for you. Jesus stood still. Jesus was on his way, but he stood still to a cry of mercy. The same account is said of Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse number 46 onwards. The Bible says, and he also cried, and they decided to shut him off. Today, don't let anybody sit in by you. Be your enemy to the subscription of God's mercy. Don't let any brother or sister who you are trying to connect, filio, who you are trying to connect to, don't let even your wife or your husband be the reason why you will not cry loud unto God. The Bible says that they cried, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." And they said, "Shut up." And he cried them more. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still and said, "What do you want me to do?" Today I declare, when you speak and when you will cry, Jesus will stand still. And he will give you audience. And he will ask you, "What do you want?" Don't go to him asking first. Go crying for mercy. Mercy will give you some minutes with the Lord. And when the Lord of all mercy, hallelujah, stands with you in that minute, then you will pour out your heart to him. Bible says when they shouted on Bartimaeus and he still cried for mercy, in that scripture also, verse number 49 of Mark chapter 10, the Bible says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Today, my prayer for you is that Christ will stand still, that Jesus will stand still over your house and command for you to be called and give you audience and open that file again for you, and he will mete out judgment in your favor. Hallelujah. Jesus will stand still when we subscribe to his mercy. That you will be healed, that you have that breakthrough, that you have those children, that you have that job, that you have anything you want, it's only by the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 4. The need to subscribe to these mercies.
But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us.
But God, who is rich in mercy. My question is, did all these people who went to God asking for mercy, had they not experienced mercy from God before? They had. For blind men to be able to pursue a man, Jesus, it means that they had some help. That alone is mercy. Because the Bible speaks of some who are not only blind, but deaf and dumb as well. So for that man to be blind, it means he had some mercy. He could have mouth to talk. Did Bartimaeus want to say God had never shown him mercy before? A blind man who could hear? who was able to shout above the sound decibels of a multitude gathered around the celebrity man. For the man to be able to stop, did Bartimaeus want to say he had no mercy? Did those two people want to say they had no mercy? Did that woman from Cana, whose daughter was possessed, want to say that she had no mercy from God? They had. It was not as if God had never showed them mercy. You are here. You are going through so many things. God has shown you mercy many times. But what you are going through now, it's as if that mercy is not coming. I came with a revelation for you. It's found in Lamentations chapter number 3, verse 21 to 23. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." And this is the revelation in the 23rd verse. It says, "They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." They are new every morning. You are alive. You are not consumed because of the mercies of God. But it did not end there. The Bible says that like the manna of the days of old fell for the people of God, so are the mercies of God falling for us today. The scripture talks about the refreshness and the newness of the Lord's mercy. Emphasize verse number 23. A renewability, a newness that comes with each day. Listen, you know, manna, the bread of heaven, they called it manna because they did not know what it was. And the Hebrew interpretation of manna is what? What is this? Whatness? So it's just like, what manna? That's what they were trying to say. Now, the instructions were that gather for the day only, because the next morning, fresh manna is going to fall. Glory to Jesus. That is the same thing. When they took extra and they got up in the next morning, they realized they turned into worms. Hallelujah. Now, the same thing is being said here, that it says that they are new every morning. And I want to really explain that to you. The word new there is from the root Hebrew kadash, which means fresh or new thing. Okay. Morning there is from the meaning of the morning there is dawn, the break of the day. So two things are being said here, and I want you to see. If God says his mercies are new, if God says his mercies are new, and he does not end there but says they are new every morning, what is the essence for renewability if one cannot exhaust it or live in the old one? He said that they are new every morning. So he's trying to emphasize that like the manna that fell, you can exhaust the day's mercy and don't go into the next day with the leftover of the day's mercy, because every morning I dispense a new mercy in line with your struggles or the problems that you go through. But the reason why he did the manna like that was that he wanted them to come into his presence every morning and take of the manna. The same way his mercies can be subscribed to. And what God, because he doesn't want to give us a depot kind of mercy where you receive one mercy for 1 year. He wants us to come daily into his presence. So the writer of Hebrews came in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15 to 16, and said that let us come boldly into the throne room of grace. The word come there means to come continually. Let us come boldly into the throne room of grace, where we shall obtain grace and mercy. You don't survive today on yesterday's mercies. Like the manna, it is exhausted. Even if you have leftover mercy from last year, it is expired. But this morning, may the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, May the Father of all mercies renew, refresh, renew, 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 refresh with the breaking of each day in Jesus' mighty name. The renewability of his mercies becomes congruent to the level of your need. Kodash and then Boka. Boka is the morning. 2 Kings chapter number 20, verse number 1 to 6. Scripture speaks of a man, a king, who had enjoyed the mercies of God for so long. Till one day, he got sick. And he was also sick unto death. Now heaven, hear me. Say, I hear you, sir. Heaven saw that the sickness of Hezekiah was a sickness that will lead him into death. Muntio, when heaven certifies that it's not a doctor, it's heaven. God sent a prophet to him and said, tell him, as for this one, he will die. When God himself sends word that my brother, where you are now is the end, then it means that, buddy, it really is the end. It's not a doctor who said it so that you can go to God to reverse it. It's God. Pastor here at Adiboye said that he had a friend who used to write books, and he had written about 32 or 31 books, and he started writing the 32nd one, and then the Spirit of the Lord came to him in his room and said, oh yeah, don't write it. Then he said, why? He said, you will not finish it. So put your house in order. And he said, thank you, sir. God came to him and told him, don't write the book, because when you start, you will not finish it. Then he asked God, why? And then the Lord said to him, you will die. It was time. One day it will be time for everybody. And so we must work the works of him who called us whilst it is day. Your boy life, actually, is fine. Your boy life, averagely, there's nobody here under 15 years. You've had 20 years of your life for yourself. Hey, it's all right. Let's leave the rice for God. Hallelujah. Because you will need to make emphasis to God about what you did some time ago when it comes to the place where you need mercy most. So when heaven sent word and said the guy was about to die, you can read it.
In those days was Hezekiah sick to death.
He was sick unto death.
And the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.
When God sends word to you like this, then he's trying to tell you, this is God. That means that the thing was a done deal. Any judgment that is over, any decree or verdict on your life that seems to have ended, by the mercies of God, let that case be renewed, let it be reopened, and let fresh judgment from the fresh mercies of God come in Jesus' mighty name. Something happened. Continue.
Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept so.
Pause. Now, let's rewrite this scripture. The Bible says, if thou shalt mark iniquity, who shall stand? There is no man who has walked before God perfectly. So let's correct Hezekiah. Remember now, O Lord. I think another version will say, I beseech thee. I think it's the number, the old King James. It says, I beseech thee. And that is a plea of mercy. Me power cho kai me. Now, how I have worked before you, he should forget about it. Because righteous, Bible says, and Elisha was sick with a sickness unto death, and he died. Hezekiah can't compare himself to Elisha. No. The man whose bones resurrected the dead, no. The man who parted the Jordan, no. It is by the Lord's mercy that you are not consumed. Not by your walking before him in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good. Because actually this man, after this thing, he did very silly things. So it is not by this. But his prayer is in the verse 1. Remember, I beseech thee. And then in the last part, and he wept bitterly. Hezekiah petitioned mercy from God. And when he did that, something happened. Read on.
And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court.
Before the man, Hezekiah is here. The man brought news. Before Isaiah got to the door, God's word came back to him saying,
that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah the captain of my people.
Theo, come. Hurry up. You are prophet Isaiah. You have come and brought word. I have heard. And so you are finished. You are going. Go. Then I knelt down and I cried, oh Lord, remember me. Oh Lord, remember me. Then the word of the Lord, haven't you heard the word? You've heard it. And then he's coming back. So the guy is still crying and praying. And he came. And then he said what?
Thus says the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
The God of David your father.
The father of mercy.
I have heard your prayer.
I have heard your prayer.
I have seen your tears.
Oh. Read on, read on.
Behold, I will heal you.
Did he say, I have seen how truthfully you walk before me and how loyal you were before me? No. He says, I have heard your cry. I have seen your tears. Hallelujah. God responded to his appeal or petition for mercy. And then he says, surely,
behold, I will heal you.
I will heal you.
On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord.
Listen.
And I will add to your days 15 years.
Listen.
And I will deliver
heaven,
you.
Heaven, thank you. And I will deliver you.
And this city.
Thank you. Heaven had said in confirmation that the sickness was one that was unto death. Heaven has certified. Say, Yariye Wediye. E yu uwe Yariye. No be wuntu amu wabu anu ho. Shura se abne so akutui. No se erade kaimi. Ah. Minyami kai. Mine kaimi mahensi.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM_EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.